a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday. Glad to have you guys on board the Paul Gallant Show. Pauly G out today. Taking a little PTO, a little paid time off because he's earned it. And then, of course, you go, well, and you know, I see a slight, question mark there from producer Sean Planet of the Mapes behind the glass on the 1s, 2s, and 3s. Mr. Mapes, you might be suggesting that maybe he has not earned said time off today.
It's just...
Since you're here.
It's just early, and he went through his vacation days pretty quick last year.
Yeah.
Right now, he's on pace to go through them pretty quick again.
Again.
So... You know, that was the face. Has he
heard that time?
Christmas was like 4 weeks ago.
Literally. By the way, all you folks out there that still have Christmas stuff up outside, like, you know, inside, whatever, nobody can see your house, so nobody cares. But if you still have Christmas things on outside, say a wreath, most Christmas decorations are gone. But I was door knocking yesterday and saw somebody had something on their door that said, Jesus is the reason for the season. Which, look, I'm not debating whether he is or whether he isn't. I mean, it is his birthday after all. But that was a month and a half ago, okay? You get to celebrate Jesus for a weekend, his birthday, and then it's all, and then we go back to whatever it is we're doing.
If anyone deserves a birthday month, it's Jesus. Give him a birthday month.
Hands down, okay? Jesus Christo, still number one in my book, okay?
No, who doesn't deserve it? The chick you went to high school with on Instagram. She does not deserve a birthday month. Jesus Christ, I'll come out here and say, deserves birthday
Jay
month.
Jay Sizzle, give it up.
Give all these years later, 2,000 years later.
JC, still putting in work all these years later. I'm Fred Davis. Glad to have you guys on board. We're doing a little sports talk today. Look, we got a lot to get to today. My boy Vader is going to jump on here in studio, no less, because, look, the Rockets are doing – they're not doing Rocket-type things, okay? They're doing about what I expected them. I mean, you know, hovering around the 500 mark right now. You look at what Ime Udoka's been, and I don't care what anybody says, Ime Udoka has been the biggest of any – of the things that went down or any of the moves that happened this offseason going into this 2023-2024 NBA season. I've said from the jump that I thought Ime Udoka was the best move that the Rockets could have made, whether player-wise and or coaching-wise, and I think that's across the NBA. And so, you know, you get Steven Adams, and obviously that's a move, Sean, that they're looking at. That's not a move that you're looking at to have any kind of impact this year. You gave away 3 second-round picks, which in the NBA is, you know, I mean, it's monopoly money. I mean, yeah. You know, name me, it's been a while since I've been on. 713-780-3776. 3776. You know, I get confused because my number is very similar to that. 713-780-3776. Give us a phone call, and we'll talk Rockets. Obviously, we're going to talk plenty of Texans today, too. I have an apology to make. I'm not going to make it right now. I'm going to make it in this first hour, though. I have an apology to make to a Houston sports executive, okay? And that's going to be the extent of that tease right there. We're going to do that at some point here in the next 2 or 3 segments. We're going to do it here in the first hour, though, because we're going to, like I said, we're going to talk some Texans. We're going to talk a little bit of Super Bowl as well. And we're going to talk how the two go together. And what do I mean by that? Look, if you're a Texans fan right now, and you know, Sean, you and I were talking before the show, it's what a difference a year has made. Right? I mean, a year ago, we were talking about firing Nick Caserio, you know, Lovie Smith, the David Culley hires, question marks as to, you know, why did you take Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner? You know, you were just looking at a roster that, you know, the churn was nonstop. You know, our boy Green, the guard, who, by the way, and look, look, I hope he has a bounce back year. I mean, what else can he have? Either he's going to have a bounce back year, or he's going to be out of the league. Kenyon Green. But I'm going to say this about our boy Kenyon Green. I remember seeing him in the elevator when he was coming up to do a show, and I can't remember which show it was here. And I remember seeing him in the elevator, and yeah, I mean, look, we've all seen. I mean, look, you spend time in radio, you spend time in sports media, you're going to see professional athletes, you're going to work with professional athletes. And so, you know, some look more obvious than others. Some you look at and you're like, wow, that guy was, you know, you look at a Case Keenum and you think to yourself, wow, that guy spent a decade plus in the NFL? Holy mackerel. Kenyon Green did not look like a starting left guard to me when I saw him, right? Like, I looked at him, and then when I found out that was Kenyon Green, I thought, wow, okay. I mean, again, not hope everything works out. This was going into his rookie season, and obviously he struggled, and then obviously had the issues in year two. So, again, there was just something about him. And so I was curious as to what, you know, going into this year's draft, kind of what Caserio's mindset or kind of what his process was for looking at players. And then, of course, you juxtapose that with what had gone on in New England, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, like, man, this is going to be, you know, we're off to a pretty crappy start. Like, this isn't good. And literally in one draft with one coaching hire, your entire football program has done a complete 180. And now the conversation has morphed from you being a laughingstock in the National Football League and, you know, people talking about you need to sell the team. Cal McNair doesn't know what he's doing. He's a real life Tommy boy, to now suddenly the question is, okay, what are we going to add in this offseason to take that next step to where we're playing in, not only just playing in the divisional round, but we're winning the divisional round. We're winning. We're going to AFC championships. We're a legit threat to a Super Bowl. And so that, we're going to talk a little bit about that and get some of your thoughts on that. Again, we got a huge draft coming up for your Houston Texans as well. And of course, obviously, D'Amico Ryans did an absolutely fantastic job. And you got good news, too, from what's been a very bizarre coaching, coaching offseason, right? I mean, look, you got no Bill Belichick this cycle. You've got no Mike Vrabel coaching this cycle. You got rid of Ron Rivera, and you basically made a lateral move if you're the Washington Commanders, which, again, I'm trying to understand how, if you're the Washington Commanders, it's like, okay, look, you got rid of Dan Snyder, and that was supposed to, you know, who was the worst owner in sports. You brought in Josh Harris, who everybody was talking about how he was going to change the culture and change the vibe and change everything about, similar to what was going on with the culture here in Houston a couple of years ago. But, you know, again, Cal McNair steadied the course and what have you. You know, you brought in the guy from the Golden State Warriors. You brought in Spielman from the Minnesota Vikings from back in the day. And the best you do is Dan Quinn. So I'm trying to wrap my brain around exactly what exactly the Commanders are doing. And look, Dan Quinn, great defensive coordinator, albeit postseason wise, might have a few questions about that. But again, what that tells me, though, and you know, taking a step back and looking at how the entire situation has played out for the Houston Texans team over the last, you know, 12 to 14 months, is that, again, for as inauspicious as this Houston Texan, you know, tenure started for one Nick Caserio, the fact that one offseason literally got rid of all the bad vibes, got rid of all the negative juju, and on top of that, more importantly, all right, and this is something that I don't think near enough Texan fans have really been able to appreciate or been you know, shown any kind of gratitude for. You've drafted two franchise quarterbacks in less than a decade, if you think about it, right? Like, that's something that I don't know that's gotten talked about near enough. Because, again, look, I get it. You had, and again, we get it. The Deshaun Watson situation didn't end anywhere near what people thought it was. And, of course, he goes to Cleveland, has been a shell of himself since he's been in Cleveland. And the million-dollar question was, okay, who are you going to take with that number two pick this year? Again, nobody in their right mind. And I know everybody's coming out now. You know, Dave Ziegler, former Raiders GM, and of course everybody can come out now and say, oh yeah, we knew. You know, we thought CJ Stroud was going to be this guy. Sean, I'll ask you before we go to break: how many people do you remember this time a year ago saying, oh, you know, CJ Stroud, you're going to be okay taking CJ Stroud at number two?
Yeah, I mean, it was. He was a very. It was like a very tepid acceptance of like, yeah, Bryce Young is one, C.J. Stroud is two. And that's really it. If anyone had C.J. Stroud one, a lot of it was off the back of, well, Bryce Young's too small.
Which is valid.
Which it was valid. It still is valid. He's still small.
Still small. Hadn't gotten any bigger.
Well, it's been a month of an offseason. Okay, he's probably still small. Maybe he grows for it. Drink a lot of milk. I don't know. But there's nothing superlative about C.J. Stroud that made people go like, wow, I'm betting my house on this guy. It was a lot of he's good, and then also a lot of the S2 cognition test.
Which, again, that was one of those conversations that I didn't even know look, we know what the Wunderlic is. We've heard about the Wunderlic for the last 20, 25 years. Did you know what an S2 test was prior to last year?
CJ Stroud is what
That was the first time I'd ever even heard of the S2 test.
Yeah.
Okay. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know that I would ever, I would never have another quarterback take the S2 test again. For what reason? Because again, okay, it was supposed to, you know, your decision making skills and how quick you get the ball out, da 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 da, and how quick you can register defenses and stuff and blah blah blah. And apparently, C.J. Stroud wasn't good at it, and then he went out and had arguably the greatest rookie season in NFL history.
And guess what? He processed really fast. He made really fast and good decisions.
I'm no C.J. Stroud apologist, but I'll tell you what, he looked pretty dadgum good processing defenses to me this year. Right? I mean, I'll tell you what, C.J. Stroud, and again, I don't know that you can put, and we're gonna delve into this a little bit more. I don't know that you can, I mean, for as good as Deshaun Watson was his rookie season, all right? And let's, I'm going to say this before we continue the show. Look, I'm only here till noon, so don't worry about it. Let's take away the way the Deshaun Watson period ended here in Houston, okay? Because I get it. It was not right. There's a lot of ugliness how it all went down, and I think there was more to that story. And again, the Texans, you want to talk about getting out like a bandit in that situation, okay? And I'll just leave that as it is. But Deshaun Watson was pretty dadgum good when he was a Houston Texan, okay? I mean, I think we can pretty much say that. And to leave the way he did, and then here you are 2 years later, and you get a guy who, dare I say, is that much better than Deshaun Watson on literally from week one and takes, you know, get your franchise to a place that y'all hadn't been to in 5-6 years after Deshaun had already been in the league 2 or 3 years. Again, I can't say enough about what the job Nick Caserio did. And again, when you hit on a quarterback, okay, you can hit on linemen, you can hit on defensive players, all that good stuff. When you hit on a franchise quarterback, suddenly the air tastes cleaner, the sky's bluer, the water's crisper. Hell, it's blue water in Galveston, for crying out loud. I mean, I tell you what, when C.J. Stroud balls, I tell you what, if you look close enough, you might see a speckle of blue water in Galveston. That's the kind of impact C.J. Stroud's had here in H-Town. That's Sean, Planet of the Mapes. I'm that boy, Freddie D. Our boy Vader coming on here in about 45 minutes talking all things Rockets. We're going to talk some Super Bowl as well. However, I've got an apology to make to a Houston executive. I'll make that next. Don't go anywhere. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the spirit of radio. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Welcome back in. Paul Gallant Show, Pauly G out. Do we know what he's doing? I mean, did he give y'all an update? I mean, it's only February 2nd, for crying out loud.
Yes, he did give, or I'm not sure if he said it on air, but it's not a secret anything. He's going on a ski trip.
Okay.
Hitting the slopes with some college friends in Vermont, I want to say.
New okay. Hampshire,
same thing.
Yeah.
So that's what...
I mean, Vermont's in the Northeast, so that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Right next to New Hampshire, mm-hmm. which has arguably the greatest state motto in state motto history.
Oh, is it Liberty or Death?
Live Free or Die.
Live Free or Die.
Live Close.
I think Liberty or Death is... Give me Liberty or Give Me Death was from the Alamo? I don't know.
713-780-3776. If you know who said, give me liberty or give me death. I feel like we should know that, shouldn't we? Give me liberty or give me death?
Yeah, it's Patrick Henry.
Oh, Pat. Where's he at these days, huh?
Well.
Dead?
Yeah. 300 years
ago. Pat, if your descendants are listening, 713-780-3776, do you go around telling people, give me liberty or give me death? Huh? When's the last time you said that?
Does anyone decide to give you death?
Well, if they do, if they do, I know things have eased in 2024, and you got the governor of California going to Target and watching people shoplift literally while he's there. And then the cashier says, well, it's the governor's fault that people do this. And then she does a double take. Oh, so it's you. You're the reason people literally just grab stuff and walk out the door. So anyway, if you're like, why am I paying $380 for stuff? Well, it's a great question. Anyway, we digress. I got an apology to make. Can we do some sad, somber music real quick? Because, I'm a big fan of, and I've made so many apologies over the course of my adult life. I enjoy playing a little music underneath said apology, because when you do that, all right, A, it sets the mood. B, it lets the other person that you're apologizing to know that you're serious about this apology. I guess it depends on the kind of music you're playing, too. But we'll go ahead and something a little slow jam on a Friday. Again, nothing going on this weekend. Although, no, actually, stop. Let me take that back. I've been meaning to get to this, too. U of H fans. As a matter of fact, I was on, the last time I did a solo show was during, actually damn near about a year ago almost. I was on the Friday, it was a Friday too. I was on the Friday that U of H was playing in Kansas City against Miami. Okay, and of course they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn that day. Miami beats them, goes to the Final Four, whoop-de-whoop, whatever. And I remember saying that day that, where were all my U of H fans at? Where were all my dye-in-the-wool U of H? Because I just felt like that particular Friday, I wasn't feeling the love. I wasn't feeling the vibes, as the kids say, right? I wasn't feeling the game day today, right? Like, we're a game away from going to the Final Four. Let's make some noise today. And then you went out and lost, right? And so I have a hard time with, this whole U of H basketball culture thing. No, and nothing against my boy JB, okay, Jeremy Branham, pound for pound, one of the best play-by-play voices around. But I need a little more oomph from some of you UH fans. And the reason why I'm saying that is because tomorrow, U of H basketball gets to feel what a real basketball program looks like. And you get to see what a real arena looks like tomorrow. Okay? I get it. It's one thing to play in whatever Rice plays in. Okay? And I want to say it's like, rec gym in Sunnyside. You're going to the greatest arena in college basketball tomorrow. Right. So it's the real deal Holyfield. Now, that being said, U of H is I am worried about KU tomorrow. I am worried about them losing this game tomorrow. I really am. Why? One, Bill Self is 0-6 against number one ranked teams in KenPom in his career. Right. And guess who's the number one team ranked in KenPom right now? Whose house? Kelvin Sampson's house. Number one team in the KenPom right now, after getting off to kind of a sluggish start in the Big 12 play, what have they rattled off, like 3-4 wins in a row? They're kind of in cruise control right now as far as the Big 12 is concerned. KU's already dropped 3 games, hadn't looked especially great. Hunter Dickinson looks slow as all get out. Meanwhile, LJ Cryer and Sheed have been absolutely next level. I mean, that team top to bottom. And again, it's what do you expect out of your boy, Kelvin Sampson? So tomorrow's a huge game for both KU and U of H tomorrow. U of H, a little bit of a measuring stick, like I said, got knocked around football-wise in the Big 12. Have, like I said, kind of a slow start there in the Big 12 basketball play, but have since kind of righted the ship and can go a long way tomorrow, Sean Mapes, as to, and look, I'll just tell you this right now. If U of H wins tomorrow, and again, I bust balls because, hell, my daughter's a junior at U of H, for crying out loud. I bust balls in that sense, but U of H, A, can legitimately win that game tomorrow, and I would not be surprised if they did, and B, if they do win that game tomorrow, Big 12 champs already. Book just, it.
And, print the T-shirts.
Print the T-shirts, okay? Print the hats, all right? Put out get your temple social media template ready, okay?
Start making the Photoshop.
Start doing the Photoshop, okay? Because it's and that would be a huge accomplishment. I mean, look, the Big 12's been arguably the best basketball conference in college basketball for the last half decade.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's not hyperbole.
And to come in, win, U of H has been a good program.
They've been a great program for the last half decade, no question.
Yeah, under Kelvin Sampson. But then the question was always, you know, they played in the AAC, so they had one other
Memphis and some upstart AAC team that had 17 transfers on it and a 45-year-old dude who may or may not be, you know, 45.
Who's afraid to take the Florida State job at any given moment.
That's it.
Then you come to, like you said, the best basketball league in the last half decade, and to come in, and like you said, besides the first kind of scuffling in the first three games.
And there was nothing to take. And look, TCU is ranked, right? You lost to two ranked teams, by the way, okay? And on the road, you lose at Iowa, which let's call it what it is. Yeah, Hilton Coliseum, a little bit different than playing in, you know, whatever bum, you know what arena you're playing in the AAC, right? I mean, it's a different,
different than Tulsa.
It's a little different world, exactly, right? Your boy Jamie, and I want to say Kennedy, but I know that's not the right name. Jamie, and I can't think of his name, the TCU coach, you know what I'm talking about.
Jamie Dixon,
that's right. I knew it. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, and real quick, we're going to get to this here in a second. We're going to get to this in one of the next two segments. I have a whole new appreciation for the concussion protocol. Okay? I am dead serious. I was telling Todd Farquharson before the show, I got into a car accident back in October, okay? And was knocked out, Sean Mapes, for 18 minutes.
Oh, my God.
True story.
Oh, my God.
Your boy, out, 18 minutes. Night-night. To the point where I woke up in the ambulance, all right? Guy's talking to me. I don't know what he's saying. Tells me to remember these three words. Couldn't tell you those three words if you put a gun in my head right now. I mumbled something after to him, and he's like, oh, you might have a concussion. I said, you think? I don't even know where I'm at. I don't know how I got here. And it was a sad day. We had to put the GLI, the OGLI, to rest. It was totaled that day. A sad day all the way around. I'm a truck guy now, and I'll be honest with you, can't stand it. Can't stand it. God bless all you truck people out there. God bless you, all right? Can't do it. I miss the manual. I miss shifting, okay? I miss that. Trucks, you can't drive like that in a truck. You can.
People do.
But it ain't going to end well.
Yeah.
Okay?
People do.
You can do it, but I don't advise it. Yeah. I don't advise it. So, anywho, I want one U of H fan to call in. Okay, because I've already thrown it out, and look, maybe I suck. I don't know, but I was told, or at least I'm told every day on this show that it's the most interactive show in Houston. So I don't know how interactive the fans are, but I want to hear one. Give me one U of H fan representing the basketball program. That's it. That's all I want.
Put on for your city.
Put on for your city. I'm outside of Andrew Carlson.
Yeah, I was gonna say you might get one.
No, Carlson. Look, Andrew's, take Andrew, right? That's the entire KU fan base. Okay, he's a casual considered by KU fans, right? Like, we're all Andrew Carlsons when it comes to KU basketball. He's the exception rather than the rule for U of H basketball. So I want to see U of H fans, whether you're a fan, whether you're a grad, whatever you are, like you said, put on for your basketball program, okay? Tell me why you're going to go in to the hallowed halls of Fog Allen Fieldhouse tomorrow and you're going to beat the Kansas Jayhawks at Allen Fieldhouse tomorrow and stake your claim to Big 12 supremacy in your inaugural season, okay? That's what I want to hear from somebody from U of H. If I don't get a U of H call tomorrow, I'll put it like this. If I don't get a U of H call from now until the end of the show, I got no love for U of H from here on out. I'm done with y'all. And I don't care if you got Jordan uniforms, okay? Which is a big thing for me, okay? So, 713-780-3776. I'm calling out all you U of H fans. We got a great basketball program. We got this. We got the Fertitta Center. Boo, 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 boo. Yeah, but when the rubber meets the road, where are they at? You know who shows up? Rain or shine? Aggies. Aggies are so delusional, they don't even know any better. But they show up. I guarantee if I called out Aggies right now, that phone line would be lit up right now. U of H fans, where you at? 713-780-3776. Oh, I got an apology to make. I really do. I'm going to make it on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and so is your wife.
When I buy my wife, hang like slave of wizard.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Are we still on Twitch? We are, right?
We're on Twitch and we're on YouTube.
Ayo.
YouTube's the new
one. All right. So shout out to my crew over at Core 4 Roofing, Connor, Rocky. And I got to give a shout out to my boy Rocky because Rocky, first of all, let's just give a shout out to all the diehard Texan fans out there. Okay, like, and there's a few of y'all out there. I got to give a shout out to my boy Rocky. I got to give a shout out to my boy Eli Bajani from High Performance Connection, who is a, I mean, look, these are guys who were still gearing up every Sunday in Texans gear when it wasn't cool to do it. And yet here they were week after week after week, L after L after L, rocking their Texans gear, going to the games, rooting the team on, taking all kinds of smack talk from people like me, but yet here they are. And through all that, the perseverance, the resiliency, and here they are now celebrating a Texans AFC South championship. And, you know, I will say this, though, Texans fans, can we stop wearing the AFC South championship shirts? Can we stop with that? Saw a guy at the gym the other day, and it said AFC South, and it said champions in capital letters across the shirt. Like, bro, nobody's celebrating that. Like, you, it's cool to say you won a division when you've never won anything and you're trying to come back from something. But don't rock the shirt. You know, what was that movie PCU with Jeremy Piven and Jon Favreau? A little probably before your time. I don't even know if you were born in 94 yet, Mapes.
I was not.
And there's a line in that movie where they say, you're gonna wear the shirt to the show you're going to tonight? Don't be that guy. So don't be AFC South championship shirt guy, okay? Texans fans, like, you've got a legit quarterback. You've got a legit defensive end / outside linebacker. You've got a legit head coach. You got Bobby Slowick for another year, so you better go ahead and bring in his replacement and have him work under him, because if Stroud and Slowick do what they did last year and build on that next year, which there's no reason to think they won't, especially when you consider all the stuff they're going to add to, yeah, Bobby Slowick's gone after this, after next year, and rightfully so. So enjoy him while you got him. All right, I shouted out and I clowned on U of H basketball, and rightfully so. And you know, again, asking ye shall receive. Wilson is calling to talk all things U of H basketball, because I said if I don't get anybody from U of H to call in about this big game tomorrow, y'all are dead to me. Wilson, what you got?
Yeah, man, I think this is the game of the season with it being in Kansas, but I do feel like this is like U of H is, I mean, they haven't lost in 3 weeks, and the two games they lost in the conference thus far has been 4 points and 1 point.
Right.
And Kansas is just, you know, they're preseason favorites and all that, but they just haven't shown up the way everyone thought they would. I mean, they just fell a week ago to Iowa State. And so I think this is the year for U of H. I mean, it's Kelvin Sampson. How can you ever pick against him thus far?
He might be the best text messenger in basketball history, too. So there's something to be said for that as well.
Yeah. And you know, I just think that even if U of H comes out and they can't get a bucket, they'll be able to keep it close defensively to give them an opportunity, give an opportunity to Shed to take over.
I agree. Real quick, last thing, Wilson, are you a U of H grad, or are you just a U of H fan?
Yes and yes. I went to U of H Clear Lake, so I kind of adopted U of H as my alma mater.
There you go. Hey, we'll take that too. Shout out to Wilson, my man, a fan and a graduate as well. Appreciate the call, Wilson. Is there anybody else that wants to chime in? I mean, look, Wilson came in strong, feeling good about tomorrow's chances. One person? That's all we got? We got one U of H fan calling in tomorrow. I promise you, if this was U of H football, we'd probably have a few more people. Again, y'all can't tell me you're a top-notch program and I got one person trying to, you know, carry the water for U of H basketball. Where are we at, Sean Mapes? Sean's going to go to the call right now, so like I said, I'm busting enough y'all's chops. Anyway, back to shouting out to Texans fans. Like I said, shout out to my boy Rocky, shout out to my boy Ellie, and the Core 4 crew, Felicia as well. And so, great job by everybody over there. But look, I got to give a huge apology to my man Nick Caserio. I was on these airwaves last year with Josh Beard, and we were on, I think, I don't know, it was like that Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it was, and they it was the week that Derek Stingley had gotten hurt and was going to be out, I don't know, 5 or 6 games. I know they put him on IR or whatever it was, and then, of course, he came back and had a great finish to the season. And so I, in typical Fred fashion, somewhat abruptly, somewhat hastily, somewhat without really thinking it through, said immediately, fire Nick Caserio. Okay, like went on these airwaves and demanded that you fire Nick Caserio. And of course, obviously the joke's on me, ladies and gentlemen. And as we saw as the season played out, not only did Derek Stingley have a bounce back season, you could argue that you see why after watching this past season. And I don't know that the gap between him and Sauce Gardner is as near, as large after their rookie season than it was after this last season, right? I mean, Derek Stingley took monumental strides in year two, albeit with a few injuries there at the beginning of the season. I think he's starting to shed that injury label, because again, he does have that a little bit. I mean, let's call it what it is. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean it's unfair, but there is, you know, there is something to that. And I think it's going to be huge for next season to see him play a full 16, 17 games for Derek Stingley. But if you're a Houston Texans fan, and like I said, my boy Rocky called this before the season started, I think he had him intercepting 6 or 7 passes, which I thought was insane. He ended up with what, 4 or 5?
He got, I think, to 5. And
when it was all said and done?
10 games. So that he has gone from, like you said, before the season, he was viewed as
a bust.
Yes, not just because he can't stay on the field, but also he was not as good as
Sauce Gardner, and that didn't help.
And yes, and now the only thing, if you're to sit there and defend Sauce, the only thing you can say is, well, yeah, Stingley, play a full season. Like That's the only knock on him. And then, you know, if he plays 16, 15 games this next season, because I'll give you 2 games where you just get knocked. But if he plays in a full season next year, what's the knock on him?
No, I think after, you know, again, you're feeling really good about where some of these position, you know, where some of these guys are. And look, for a guy like a Nick Caserio, who, again, 2 years ago, you know, you hire Lovie Smith, you take Derek Stingley, and you take Kenyon Green. And it was a absolutely abomination of a season. Now, that being said, look, Lovie Smith did you the eternal favor of all favors by winning that Indianapolis game, right? And again, we don't know. And now I will say this. Do I think Bryce Young would have looked as bad in Houston as he did in Carolina? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right. Bobby Slowick's a damn good offensive mind, and D'Amico Ryans is a phenomenal head football coach, right? And that's the thing about where, you know, shout out to Cal McNair for, you know, again, you can say what you want about his first 2 drafts. You can say what you want about his first 2 coaching decisions, going through the motions, taking those lumps, and then boom, I'm talking hitting it out of the park, Yordan Alvarez style, and now all of a sudden you're set for the next decade, right? Like, you went from this team couldn't get it out of its own way to now all of a sudden you are positioned to be the face of the AFC South once again for the next decade plus, as long as CJ Stroud is your head, or excuse me, as your starting quarterback. All right, we got another U of H call. All right, so you U of H fans are starting to slowly chime in. All right, I mean, we've had 2. I'll take it. All right, so Dave, hang tight. I got to finish up my apology on the other side. We're going to talk some Rockets. We still got to get into a little bit of Super Bowl talk as well. And I want to hear from you guys one more time as well. What's the number one of all the things that the Texans need to do into the offseason? And again, it's not a super long list. I mean, you know, the beauty of it now is that you're building off of what you've already got. What's the one position and or player, and we'll just go with free agents because I'm not getting into the whole rookie thing right now. That's way too long down the street. Give me one free agent. And you know what? I'm going to be even more clever about it. Not name Mike Evans that you'd like to see in a Houston uniform next season. He's Sean, Planet of the Mapes. I'm still that dude, Freddie D. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. That's the phone number to chime in. We look forward to hearing from you. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.com. Fighter of the Night Man.
I miss you, Night Man, so bad.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Are you the man behind the bumper music? Like choosing these bumper music songs?
Yes.
Or is that already in there? How about you with a little Mobb Deep? Where are you at on Mobb Deep anyway?
I can't say I go too deep. You know. Know a few of the songs.
You know a few. Tell you what. Shout out to Mobb Deep. I'll tell you what. Is it Prodigy that's dead? 713-780-3776. Prodigy, R.I.P. What's that?
I don't think you should give out the phone number for things that are easily...
I mean, nobody calls anyway, so I mean, what difference does it make? You know, I mean, somebody just wants to chime in. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, Fred, big fan. yes, he's dead.
He's dead. Thanks. Click. Thanks for checking in. I'm good with that. I mean, like I said, I was told this was the most interactive show in Houston. So, you know what? Let's get interactive, okay? Let's get interactive. Shout out to, speaking of being interactive, shout out to former ESPN 97.5 host Jake Asman, who will be hosting on Mad Dog Radio tomorrow from 4 to 8 Eastern. So definitely give that a shout. So where are you at on Mad Dog anyway? Mad Dog Chris Russo.
The man himself?
The man himself.
He's
insane. I love him.
Yeah, relatively pro. Most of my exposure to him is here on Wednesdays.
On First Take.
When he's on First Take, watching it on mute as he's screaming into the camera.
Going insane.
And making a top five list where all the highlights are in black and white. So I like him.
I appreciate the fact that this dude's got like this euphoric recall where he can literally like name, you know, like the 1978 starting NBA finals teams and what have you, and like literally list all their stats and what have you. So that's an impressive feat itself. So anyway, shout out to our boy Jake Asman, who again will be on Mad Dog Radio tomorrow. Let's jump out to the phone lines real quick. Like I said, I've called out the U of H fans, okay? Called y'all out because again, you guys are going to go see what a real basketball program looks like tomorrow. And of course, you know, the thing is this. Kelvin knows what he's getting himself into tomorrow because he knows all about Allen Fieldhouse, right? As a coach at U of A, or excuse me, back in the day when he was at OU, I've always said, and I would love to ask him this just for bleeps and grins, just and you know, maybe put a smile on his face. We don't give, and I've said this time and time again, and again, I will say this and I will die on this hill or stand on business. I guess that's the new phrase that kids are using these days. Kelvin Sampson is a trendsetter in college basketball that does not get enough credit for the fact that he was really the first coach to use and abuse text messaging. Okay? Like, we're talking mid to late 2000s when, you know, back in the day, you still had to, like, type out the number three, like, two or three times if you were trying to get DEF.
Yeah.
Okay?
T9.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was legit. That was a real thing. Where's all my Nokia people at? You know what I'm talking about with those Nokia bar phones.
Right here.
Okay. And by the way, maybe not the most technologically, you know, aesthetically pleasing, but I'll tell you what.
Got the job done.
You could fall off a building with that thing. You might die, but guess what's still ringing? With the ringtone you paid for 99 cents. Okay. What was, you know, my go-to ringtone for probably all throughout college was Wu-Tang Clan Ain't Nothing to Burp. Now, imagine that on that lo-fi Nokia. I mean, it sounded like Elmo was talking, right? It was like, when did Elmo become a member of the Wu-Tang Clan, okay? And why is my phone going off like this? Let's go out to Dave on the phone line talking all things U of H. Dave, what's up?
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call and
thanks
also
for calling,
thank you for wanting to talk some tubes hoops.
Whose house, Dave? Whose house?
Coob's house, baby. Coob's house. Love it. Yeah. So you wanted to run down of why they're gonna get the win this week, and I'm gonna tell you that's first and foremost is because defense travels.
Yes, it does.
Well, that was a pretty hot. Yes, absolutely. And that was a pretty hostile environment that they went into in Austin last week, and the other two games that they played on the road that they barely lost. We had
little bit of bad luck. Obviously, it wasn't as hostile at TCU as it was in Ames. That's a very tough place to play. But nevertheless, up there in Iowa State, you know, I think defense travels. I think they're used to the pressure. I think they're fitting in great in the Big 12. I think it was a perfect fit.
Amen.
You know, it is murderer's row coming through the Big 12, and I think they position themselves playing defense fantastic. I'm thrilled to see the arena packed the way it is. I jumped on board on this train about 4 or 5 years ago with some buddies, and it has been a blast. We've so far been in the Final Four, the Elite Eight. We've traveled and gone to – it's been a good time, and it's been a really great few years, and so we're enjoying it. So I think defense travels. They're trending the right way. You know, it makes me a little uncomfortable that the starting lineup, you know, they're a little thin. You know, they're only playing seven, you know, players at the most, sometimes eight. But I think that these guys are good, and I think this weekend's game comes down to, you know, a last-second shot, and I'm hoping it's Jamal Shedd that pulls it off.
Love it. Love it. Dave, great call from you, my man. And I'll tell you what, that's the kind of fan support, that's the kind of breakdown I like to hear from my U of H basketball fans right there. That's a U of H. That's no Johnny come lately, my friend. Okay. Dave's been on this train. All right. Dave is on the bandwagon, chugga chugga choo chooing all the way to Lawrence, Kansas tomorrow. Okay. And look, I still think KU's going to win. Let's just get that out of the way. All right. Now, that being said, we have had two U of H calls. Shout out to Wilson. Shout out to Dave. All right, who are going to be rocking their red gear tomorrow, cheering on their U of H Cougars as they play the University of Kansas Jayhawks. A top 10 matchup in Lawrence going down. I want to say that game's on CBS, too, if I'm not mistaken. Little Billy Packer and a kiss.
I'll run the...
You'll look that up.
Run the numbers on that one. You keep saying that U of H is going to see what a real basketball arena
That's
is
right.
like.
I do keep saying that.
They did play at the Moody Center earlier.
I'm sorry, what? The who?
The Moody Center.
The Moody. Like the Moody Blues? Is that what they're named after? The band?
No, it's a
Tuesday
guy who's giving a lot of money.
Afternoon. Is that what they're named after, the Moody Blues?
How
come we never get an answer when we're knocking at the door? I mean, you know, look, it's only like... The thing about... I mean, look, and no offense to the Moody Center or whatever the hell it's called. It's only that the Allen Fieldhouse, their court is actually named after the guy who created basketball. Isn't that crazy? Like, that, my friend, is a little... Hold on one more time. Did you know Allen, James Naismith, the founder of basketball and Canadian, we won't hold that against him, prior to Justin Trudeau, did you know that James Naismith is actually the only coach in Kansas basketball history who has a losing record?
Yes,
I mean, that's
you hilarious.
Can't make this stuff. So Moody Center again, Moody Blues, Moody whatever, you know, mood disorders. I don't know. That's what I think of when I think of the UT place, not of basketball royalty, is what you think of when you go to Lawrence, Kansas. So again, I'm excited for U of H tomorrow. Did we figure out what time that game is tomorrow, by the way?
It's on ESPN at...
Uh-oh. What time?
3 o'clock.
All right, so 1,500 for those of you operating on the 24-hour clock. ESPN, I'm guessing it's going to be like, you know, John Shambi probably and Fran Fraschilla will be on the call.
Fran not missing this game.
Fran Fraschilla lives for moments like tomorrow.
No one's happier about the rise of the Big 12 than Fran Fraschilla.
Fran Fraschilla and Yorkam or whatever the hell, Brett Yorkam, Yomark, whatever the hell his name is, the commissioner. Those two together, nobody is more excited about the Big 12. And you know what? I don't even, and Mapes, I'll tell you what, man. It hurts my soul. It hurts my heart when, you know, you look at the University of Texas, and I've been a Texas supporter, okay? I've been a fan of of UT as a bell cow, even though not a very good bell cow, for the Big 12. And then y'all gonna bounce and just go be mediocre in the SEC?
Oh, mediocre.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what you're gonna be.
You know, this year, they're the lineal SEC champions. Who won the SEC? Alabama. Who beat them at home? Who's their only loss in the regular season? That's right, the University of Texas.
Will you?
Double champions. Double conference champions this past year. And now,
That's it.
Going to be also ran. You're putting us with Auburn. That's what you're doing now.
Yeah, you guys are basically going to be like the Vanderbilt of.
Well, we'll be the second best school in that conference. I'll tell you that.
No, I think the Texas transition will be better than Oklahoma's. I do.
That makes sense.
I do. Although I do think basketball wise, who knows? Who knows? The SEC's a joke anyway when it comes to basketball. So we digress. All right, 1 hour in the book. Shout out to Dave. Shout out to Wilson. All right, any of other U of H folks want to chime in? Now we're gonna switch gears here a little bit in hour number two. We got our boy Vader coming in. We're gonna talk some Rockets. We're gonna talk a little NBA. We got some all-star stuff coming up here pretty soon. And, of course, you know, Vader being the H-Town guy that he is, I've got to ask him about his Houston Texans as well. So, yeah, we're going to talk a little basketball here coming up next. Second hour of the program. Don't go anywhere. Vader coming up next. Your phone calls and more. Sean Mapes, Fred Davis, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Everyone loves our chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.